Hi there, and welcome to the YM Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Shaw. The vision of this show is to educate and engage apostolic leaders just like you as you educate, engage, lead, and for our purposes of this episode today, mentor the next generation of apostolic leaders. I just want to say thank you. This is the last episode of 2022. It's been so awesome to have you with us all throughout this year. If you have yet to do it, please leave us a star rating and a review in your favorite podcast app. And better yet, share this episode, share the show, really, on social media or in a text blast with some friends and fellow leaders. If you're not aware, YM has another show dedicated to teens and young adults. It's called The Youth Room. Pastor Dan and Pastor Jordan, two local youth pastors from the United Pentecostal Church, do an amazing job delivering top quality devotional and discipleship content to teenagers and young adults. So if you've got some young people that like to listen to podcasts, maybe they take the bus, they get a long commute to college, and they're looking for some things to listen to that are apostolic in doctrine, that are coming from our shared common worldview, I would strongly suggest you check out the Youth Room podcast with Dan and Jordan. Well, let's jump into our show for today. In our last episode, which I hope you've had a chance to listen, we talked about what makes a good mentor. We think that good mentorship begins first, not with mentees, but with good mentors. And we went through the qualities that you need to have in your life and ministry in order for you to become a good mentor. Today, we're shifting the focus from ourselves to those that we will be shaping and mentoring into the calling that God has for them. And so today's episode is going to be all about what makes a good mentorship candidate. What makes a good mentee? And there has to be some qualities that we look for in the life of a teenager or a young adult before we begin that mentorship relationship. And here's why. I don't want to use the word tragic because it seems so dramatic, but that's really the only word that I can think of. In the moment, one of the great tragedies of leadership that creates so much frustration and disillusionment in the life of a student leader is when you want things more than for someone, more than they want them for themselves. That you want to see someone develop more than they want to be developed or more than they want to grow. And not being able to parse that dichotomy in the life of your leadership and the life of the person you're trying to lead can be a tremendous source of pain where you blame yourself. You become frustrated, you become hurt, and then begin to pull back from ministry and begin to pull back from being so involved with people because you feel like it's not worth it. You feel like I've done this before and it's not really worked out and I've been really frustrated. And so I guess I won't have these types of relationships with people ever again. Now, the proper and healthy approach is before I give someone a certain degree of like time and effort and leadership in order to mentor them into the person that I see God wants them to become, I need to make sure that there are some qualities within them that make them a good candidate for this type of leadership and mentorship. You know, we can see the potential and we can see the calling that's in people oftentimes before people may see it in themselves, but it's so important that we look for the right qualities. Otherwise, we will become frustrated and we will feel like we're spinning our tires. So that's what we want to do today. We want to talk about, okay, you're preparing yourself to be a good mentor. That's good. Now, what do we look for in the life of a mentee, a potential candidate for leadership and ministry development? So we're gonna do that. And then we're going to give a very practical framework that will guide you in the mentorship of a young person or a young adult in your youth group. But first, let's deal with those qualities because we got to identify them. Because if they're not present, this means they're not ready to be mentored. This means that they need to be discipled a bit more. They need to mature and they need to grow up a little bit. They need to allow their relationship with God to deepen before they're ready for this level of leadership investment. So, what makes a good mentorship candidate? Number one, are they called? Are they called to to leadership. Just because someone says they are doesn't mean that they are. And so you need to use some discernment here. You need to go, hey, is this person called? If we've talked about in the last episode, there's two mentorship tracks you need to have in your student ministry, and that's mentorship into fivefold ministry and mentorship into just general leadership and service and personal development. And so there are times when, you know, God's really moving at a youth camp or a youth convention or even within the local church, and students will see their friends step forward and they will say, hey, my buddy is getting recognized for saying he's called to be a missionary or called to be a pastor or called to preach the gospel. They're receiving a certain kind of special attention. I want that. I want to be special too. I want to be noticed too. And so they'll step forward. And this is where you've got to use some discernment and ask yourself, hey, I know they came forward, but do I see some of the qualities present before I drop them into a leadership development track that they're not called for and they're frankly not ready for? And so it'll be a significant source of consternation for me, and it could be frustration for them. Honestly, that's one of the mistakes I've made in my leadership before. People step forward and said, hey, I'm called. I want to preach. I want to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And because I was so eager to see them grow, I jumped in with both feet and was like, okay, here's what we need to do. And they just weren't ready for it. And frankly, they weren't called for it, or they weren't called to it. And as a result, it produced some frustration, and we had to reconfigure and redirect their energy to something that was actually God's purpose for their life. So what makes a good mentorship candidate? Well, if you're mentoring someone in the fivefold ministry, into preaching the gospel, into being that vocational pastor, assess, are they called? Do they have the qualities present within them? Do they have the calling of God? This is going to take discernment. It's going to take prayer and fasting. Before you drop someone into a leadership track that may not be God's purpose for their life, you need to discern, are they called? Number two, and this is probably the most important, do they aspire to serve? Do they desire to serve in the church and serve in the kingdom of God? Now, notice I didn't say lead. I'm going to assume the desire for leadership is there. But we're not looking to develop generic leaders. We're looking to develop leaders in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, whoever desires to be greatest among you, he's got to be willing to be the servant of all. I assume people, when they step forward into leadership, they have a desire to be in charge. They have a desire to have some authority. And there's a good chance that for a majority of your Gen Zers that are going to be stepping forward, there is a desire to be noticed, to be seen, to be recognized, and to be valued for the gifts that they possess. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but those desires have to be seen and to be noticed and to have authority have got to be tempered by a heart to serve. I want people to have a heart to serve over a desire to be in charge. So that's really important. Are they the kind of person that hangs back when the less noticed, non-public, more menial jobs are being presented? Or are they somebody that's willing to show up and do the thing that no one else wants to do? Now, sometimes that is bemoaned, you know, when, you know, there's the, you know, the old adage, well, if you're not willing to clean a bathroom, then you're not willing to stand behind a pulpit. I happen to believe that old school adage. I happen to believe that is actually a great test of character, that if you're not willing to show up and clean the church or show up on a work day, but you're more than willing to put in the time and effort to get behind a pulpit or get on a stage and sing in a microphone or be seen on social media, you've got a character thing that you need to work out. Because ultimately, serving in the kingdom of God is about serving in the kingdom of God. And when there is a lack of desire for service, that lets me know that there is a lack of maturity of character within the life of the person that is desiring to be mentored. And that has to be present within them before you can do anything with them or for them. And so somebody does not have a desire to serve. You've got to put them in uncomfortable positions where they are forced to choose whether or not they've got that character or not. You've got to teach on servitude. You've got to confront them on their lack of servitude and say, hey, look, I know you said that you wanted to be in ministry and you're called and you want to preach, but one of the most important things you need to have is a heart to serve. And I'm not really ready to give you a spot on stage or give you that, you know, fiery five or five spot, whatever you call it. I'm not getting ready to give you that speaking spot until I know that you're all the way in on the mission first, because if you're just about holding a microphone, you're about yourself over the mission, and I need to see that you're fully invested in the mission of what we're trying to accomplish before we ever give you a platform. And so that's something I look for in a mentorship candidate. Are they willing to serve? Number three, are they teachable? Are they teachable? Are they open to receiving feedback? Are they open to being taught? Are they open to being redirected when their actions or their attitude or their speech or their lifestyle is not something that is reflective of a God-called leader? That's really important. If they are so insecure or so defensive or so proud, or they have been coddled so much by maybe their parents that no one can say anything to them about their lifestyle, about their words, their actions, or their attitude, they're not a good mentorship candidate. You may be like, Adam, that's a really high bar for someone that's 16 or 17. You know, shouldn't there be easier access? Listen, maybe this is a sign of my ever-increasing age, but when I read history, I see that some of the most heroic actions in history were accomplished by the very young. And one of the great problems of Gen Z culture that I see is that the bar for Gen Zers has been set astonishingly low. Previous generations, we were letting young men, you know, lie on their age application for the military and then jump out of perfectly good airplane behind Nazi enemy lines to take on the enemy. Today, we're asking, you know, young people to make sure that their, you know, TikTok profile isn't that bad before we use them. I think if you set the bar high, there will be young people that will step up to the level of your expectations. Don't set the bar so low that you don't call them to something greater, because greatness, I believe, is within the apostolic generation of Gen Zers and young people that we've got right now. You just got to set that bar high. Are they teachable? Are they willing to accept feedback? Are they willing to accept constructive criticism? Now, not just criticism where you just rip on people and you're mean-spirited and you're unkind and you tear down, but are they willing to accept the feedback that builds them up and calls them to something greater? A teachable spirit is more important than any level of giftedness that may be present within them. I know in student ministry, we're often desperate for gifted people. And so the moment someone is gifted, we're like, oh, yes, finally we have somebody, you know, halfway decent to put in the band or put on the stage or put behind the pulpit. But I want to let you know that teachability is more important than giftedness. Giftedness can be developed, but teachability is a character thing that must be present within someone before they're part of your ministry and mentorship development track. Another thing is, are they submitted? Are they submitted? This goes along with teachability, but submission is only truly tested when there is disagreement. Young people today have access to a tremendous amount of information and are developing and have developed their opinions on life and ministry and leadership and morality. But the great test of character is when their pastor asks them to do something that they don't agree with or to abide by a lifestyle that they don't necessarily understand. And that test of submission is really a test of character. And so if a person bristles or is unwilling to submit because they don't fully understand why, or they don't see the value and importance of a particular conviction, they're not ready to be mentored yet. I'm not saying they don't have value. I'm not saying they can't come to church and they can't be discipled and they can't find some place of meaningful service that adds value to the kingdom of God and provides for them a deep sense of purpose. I'm talking about leadership development. Leadership development requires submission. It requires the strength of character to say, I'm not sure I fully understand and I'm not sure that I fully agree, but I believe that God has my best in his mind for my life with the leaders that he has given to me. So despite, you know, my questions, I am going to submit and I'm going to obey to the teaching of the word of God and the direction of my pastors. If you've got somebody with a submitted spirit like that, who is gifted to lead, pour your heart and soul into them because God is going to do amazing things with their life. And this has kind of been stated already, but here are some other questions to ask yourself. Are they willing to be led? Are they invested in the local church? Are they serving already? Or is mentorship a hook to get them involved? You want to target people. You want to target teenagers and young adults that are already involved and invested in your student ministry and in other ministries in the church. The kingdom of heaven is not like the world. The greater authority that you have in God's kingdom, the more you must be willing to serve. And so I've been involved in mentorship and ministry for a very long time. And my expectation has always been that if you want to be in leadership, if you want to be involved in pulpit ministry, if you're called to serve in the kingdom and lead in the kingdom of God, you need to be willing to jump into the baptismal tank with me after it's been drained and scrub it down. Crawl under stages, sweep the parking lot, pick up garbage, and you need to be fully invested. Now, if you're a young adult and you're employed, our pastor runs tithing reports on you. If you want to be mentorship in our church, now I'm the executive pastor and I have been empowered, so this is not something that I've gone rogue and done, but those that I've mentored and those that are in our mentorship program, we run tithing reports on them regularly. And if you're not giving, if you're employed, if you're a young adult, you've got a job, you've even got a part-time job, and you're not tithing, we're going to be having a conversation about that. Why? Because we're looking for people to be fully invested in the kingdom of God. And what you do with your treasure, what you do with your money, reveals to me a whole lot about your heart. And so if I'm going to call you to be fully invested and you say, yes, absolutely, I'm going to expect that you're going to be financially invested too. I expect you to lock up the building if requested because I'm looking for you to be fully invested. Look for candidates that have a strong work ethic or show the potential for a strong work ethic. They may not know how to work, but you can see that the desire is there and needs to be developed. But that is something that is so important for someone who's going to be in ministry. Because if ministry's work, it's called the work of the ministry for a reason. And you're in student ministry. You're a student pastor. So you absolutely get it. Sometimes there's going to be long hours. There's going to be late nights. There's going to be all-nighters. Probably you're bivocational. And so you're working a full-time job while also coming up with subjects for youth service or your Sunday school class, or maybe even you have expanded preaching and teaching duties in other parts of the local church, you know it takes work. And so it's so important that if you're going to invest the time and effort to develop the ministry in someone, they have a strong work ethic. If they do not, ministry may not be the thing for them because ministry is going to require a lot of service, sacrifice, and work. Another thing to look for in, and this is more true with someone in their older teens, their later teens, I should say, or their young adult years. A good mentee is someone who is willing to lead themselves well too. How you know someone is really eager to grow is how many books they're reading themselves. how many sermons they're listening to, you know, the questions they're asking. They're always looking to grow. Having a mentor is not an excuse for a lack of personal responsibility. A good mentee is someone who is willing to invest in their own growth. They're willing to take their part-time Chick-fil-A money and buy good books instead of video games. They're a young adult that's willing to attend conferences, that's willing to spend their own money to go to seminars and buy leadership material because they are willing to lead themselves well. So those are the qualities of a good mentee. Now what I want to do is I want to talk to you practically about how to run a mentorship track within your local church. So back in the day, we had a mentorship contract. For real. If you said, I'm called into ministry, this is for those that were called into vocational ministry. They were called to preach, called to be part of that fivefold ministry. We had a mentorship contract that we would kind of drop on them. Be like, all right. We want to mentor you. You want to be mentored. Here's what that's going to look like. And so I'm going to run through this mentorship contract that we developed at our local church with you. And I want to give credit where credit is due. This was very much inspired by Pastor Paul Paymer from Barberton, Ohio. He had a contract for interns that would come from Bible college. He sent that to me, and we kind of rewrote ours. Based off his, using his off of a framework, and we've had this in place for a few years. And so mentorship looked like this. We said, here's what we're willing to do for you. Here's the structure of our mentorship track. We're going to give you 1 to 2 hours a week. Now, maybe this is too much for you. I was full-time in ministry at the time, as was my senior pastor. And so this is what we were able to give. We said, we're going to give you 1 to 2 hours a week. We're going to give you performance reviews on a regular basis, and we are going to give you sermon reviews for when you preach. When you're slated to preach in youth service, it started off, you know, the typical fiery five spot, and then would come to or would grow to full youth services, and then would move upstairs into our midweeks and Sundays. We said, hey, we're going to sit down with you and we're going to go through your notes. When you start to write a sermon, when you start to develop a message, we're going to be right there beside you. We're going to go through your notes. We're going to help you structure your sermon in a way that is going to be impacting to the people that you're going to be preaching to. We're going to do everything we can when it's your time to operate in your public ministry. We're going to do everything we can to set you up to be as successful as possible. We would provide educational material. Someone starting out in leadership and ministry, it can be very overwhelming, the amount of resources that are available to you. And so we said, hey, while you're developing, I want you to be out there looking for books, looking, you know, watching YouTube videos, listening to podcasts. If you're a upwardly mobile young adult, attending your own seminars and conferences and, you know, watching those conferences online, we're also going to give you vetted resources that are going to develop you. That'll develop you as a whole person. They're going to develop you theologically. They're going to develop you in your particular leadership gift, that are going to develop you in the general principle of being a leader, and that are going to help shape your pastoral qualities. And we're going to provide those vetted resources for you so that you can level up and grow. And so that's what we did. In fact, I would like to make some resources available to you right now. And that is, if you're desiring to be a mentor and you're listening to this podcast and you're wanting to grow other people, I would recommend Church Work by Pastor Rodney Shaw, one of the best books on church leadership I've ever read. They Smell Like Sheep, The Foundations of Pastoral Care by Bruce Peterson, and the book called Lead. It absolutely life-changing. So this is what we said we would do with our mentee. We're going to give you 1 to 2 hours of our time every week. We're going to constantly be assessing your life, your lifestyle, and your leadership, and we're going to help you grow. We're going to have life-giving, person-building conversations to equip you to grow. We said we're going to talk about ministry. We're going to talk about life. And we're going to talk about things like dating and money. We're going to talk about relationships and friends. We're going to talk about church politics, not to gossip about people, but to talk to you about how to navigate the world of leading in the church. Because let me tell you what, relationships in leadership can sometimes be complicated. So we're going to equip you to be able to navigate that. We're going to talk about what it means to be a public leader and how that responsibility is different than just being a member of a church. Paul talks about the qualifications of an elder. We're going to build those into your life when you are 17, 18, 19, and 20 and continue to call you to more as you develop. We're going to put books and resources. Sometimes we'd pile into a van and we'd head to a conference where they could hear other great apostolic ministers preach, teach, and equip them for student ministry and other ministry life, because we wanted to shape them. And so that was our commitment to our mentee. Now, here's what we said. From the mentee, here's what we expect to us. We expect, number one, integrity. This is part of our leadership track. We expect integrity in your behavior. And integrity means, in the words of Andy Stanley, we would drill this into our mentorship candidates. Integrity is, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, and if I don't, you're going to hear from me first. I'm not going to wait for you to find me. I am going to just cop to my failure right away. From the mentee, we expect a Christian and godly attitude. We expect biblical morality, sexual purity, how you handle yourself around members of the opposite sex. We expect you to be a moral person. We expect honesty, and we expect transparency and vulnerability. Also, we expect service at the church. We expect that you participate in all mentorship opportunities, participate in all worship services, and serve however needed. And there's going to be times when pastor will invite you to join our senior leadership meetings. And this is what our pastor does. If we've got young ministers in our church that are in development, they may not hold a senior level position, but we invite them to come to some of our senior leadership meetings because we want them before they're in that senior position to have an understanding of what operating at a higher level of leadership looks like. And so we invite them to come and to observe. One of the things that my pastor did that was absolutely phenomenal was in our yearly planning meetings, he would invite young leaders to come and to join, to observe, and to participate in setting the vision of the church for the next year. And the reason for that was it was primarily for their development. They often would have great ideas because they come from a different generation than he did. My pastor is from the baby boomer generation. And he would always be looking for a different perspective than what he had. And so he invited them, but primarily it was for personal development, for young leaders to have a seat at the table and hear the global vision of the church being cast and being planned for that upcoming year before they ever got into a senior leadership role. And the reason for that is it develops them and shapes them so that when they are jumping into that responsibility of greater leadership, they are already prepared. Another thing that we require of them, and I would ask these questions every single meeting. We would expect participating in godly community. So who are you hanging out with this week? Who are you connecting with this week? Prayer and fasting. I would ask very specific questions about their prayer life and about their spiritual disciplines. Bible reading and then study. I would always ask, what are you reading in the Bible right now? Do you have any ideas or thoughts or sermons or Bible lessons that are inspiring you, that you are exploring? We would also expect study. What are you reading? Who are you reading? What books are in your library? That book I gave you 2 months ago, have you read it? What's your progress in that? And if it's, well, no, I haven't, I've been too busy, I would ask things like, well, have you played video games this week? Have you been on YouTube? Have you been on Instagram? And obviously you've got 48 selfies here. And so you have, if you've had time to take a picture of yourself or a picture of your food or a picture of a coffee shop and edit it and upload it online, you've had time to read a few pages. And so we would bring that accountability in this mentorship meeting. We would say, who are you hanging out with? Who are your friends? Do you have any young leaders either in this church or outside this church that are in our district that you are connecting with? I want you, if you are called to be a leader, called to be a preacher, I want you connecting with other people that are headed in the same direction that you're in. Who are they? What are you doing? How often do you connect? Because you need this to feed your own soul. You need friends that are pointed in the same direction that you are in. Prayer, fasting, Bible reading, and studying. We also would expect that they would be involved. This is all part of this mentorship track, to attend youth and church functions, to actively witness and grow the church through personal evangelism. We would say, who are you talking to right now about Jesus? Who have you invited to church that doesn't know anything about Jesus? Why is this? Because ministry is about people. Ministry is not about pulpits and stages. Ministry is not about leadership and vision and planning. Leadership is ultimately about the service of people. And so in our conversations with a mentorship candidate or with a mentee, we're constantly reinforcing evangelism and discipleship. We would have an expectation that if you're going to be mentored by us, that you would be involved with the teaching of a discipleship Bible study group. So we do Bible study groups at our church. It's called Starting Point. They're really long. They're longer than most places. And that's simply because we are in very post-Christian pagan Canada. And so our discipleship has to be a little bit longer than maybe what you're used to if you're a listener in the United States, because people have a little bit further to go. I mean, everybody's lost and needs Jesus and needs the Holy Ghost. But we have found that their post-Christian worldview is so far removed from the Bible that we've got to start at baby steps, and we got to teach people. And so we would require those that are involved in ministry mentorship to be teaching or involved in teaching a Bible study group. Be active in ministry opportunities. That is, whenever pastor asks you to speak, close at a service, be involved in public ministry, seize upon those opportunities as opportunities to grow. We also would require and ask that as much as possible, that a mentorship candidate be involved in district youth events, to volunteer at youth camp, to volunteer at winter youth conventions, to attend or volunteer in hyphen retreats, and to attend events like district conference. All of these things just deepen and broaden their leadership perspective and give them more opportunities to serve. We would also call our mentees to a high standard of behavior. And I kind of referenced this a little bit, but these are the very specific guidelines that we had in place. And again, if this doesn't work for you, feel free to take and modify this for whatever context you serve in. We said, hey, we want you to seek advice from your mentors on all romantic relationships. Why? Because the person that, if you end up serving in the kingdom of God as a married person, outside of your decision to, number one, be saved, two, to be in ministry, the next most important decision, probably right up there with being in ministry, is the person you choose as your romantic partner. The person who becomes your spouse will make or break your ministry. And here's the deal. Your mentors are going to have a perspective. They're going to have a perspective on romance and dating that is different than yours, because they're older than you. They're more mature, and they have more experience. And so seek advice from mentors on all romantic relationships. Another thing that we required was have clear boundaries on time, communication, and accountability. And have those communicated to us as your mentor. So things like, I'm never going to be with this person after this time. Or this is the type of communication we're going to have online and in person. These are the lines of accountability we're going to have in our dating relationship. And if the mentee wasn't sure what those look like, we would give them some guidelines and say, hey, don't go over and hang it in the basement when mom and dad are not at home or when someone is not there. If they are single and living on their own, don't go to your boyfriend or girlfriend's apartment and just hang out with them. Hang out in public places. Never put yourself in a position where you can disrupt your future by falling into sin. Have clear boundaries. And if someone was in a dating or romantic relationship, we would have regular ongoing conversations to make sure that those boundaries are being followed. here were things that were deal breakers for us when it came to romance and mentorship. We said, never date anyone who isn't apostolic. So if they're not an apostolic, if they are not a one God, Acts 2:38, holiness lifestyle believing individual, they're not apostolic, and you want to be in this mentorship program, you can't date them. If you date someone who is not apostolic, this leadership track is terminated, because that's a deal breaker for us. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And so if that's true for someone who just wants to be a member of a church that just wants to come and worship and attend with their family and, you know, be involved in some way, how much higher is that standard for someone who says, I'm called to be a leadership example. I'm called to be a pastor, a missionary, a preacher, a leader in the kingdom of God. How much higher is that bar for you? So never date anyone who's not apostolic. We also said, on top of that, never date anyone who is not committed to their local church and not involved in ministry. Why is that? Well, there reaches a certain point in your personal development as a mentee where you're not casually dating just to, like, have someone that you can go for coffee with who's a member of the opposite sex because you think they're fun and funny and it's great to drink coffee and talk to them and talk about life and hang out. At some point, you start preparing for marriage with these serious relationships. And if they're not fully committed to their local church and they're not committed to serving in their local church, if they're not willing, here's one way I put it to one of my mentees. I said, hey, they need to be so called into the ministry that if you decide that you're not going to be in the ministry, they would dump you in a heartbeat, because they're more committed to Jesus and the call that Jesus has on their life than they are to you. And so someone who is not committed to their local church and is not involved in ministry is not a good candidate for marriage for someone who says they're called. Don't date anyone who doesn't have their own call. This kind of tails on with what I just said, or a call to support a minister. Don't date anyone who does not have a walk with God. And don't date anyone who is not willing to abide by the lifestyle covenant that we have in our local church. And so there needs to be a common ground in holiness of life. So don't date anyone who does not practice holiness of life conforming to the standards of a member of a typical United Pentecostal church. Those things are deal breakers for us. They need to be apostolic, committed, serving with their own call, and living a holy and separated life. We also said this did not just come with dating, but it came in all of life. We said, hey, always keep your actions above reproach. Be careful what you publicly post and share on social media. Do not allow your good to be evil spoken of by immature conduct online. Don't expect the elders in the church to have respect for you behind the pulpit if you are going to be doing something foolish or sharing some sort of public, you know, some sort of stupid, profane, ungodly video online on your public profile that would cause people to lose respect for you. Remember, you are a leader no matter where you are. This is a thing that is difficult for a very young person to, and when I say very young, I'm talking about those late teens, early 20s, the moment you step forward and you say that God has called me into the ministry is the moment that your relationships change all the way around in your life. The moment that you publicly acknowledge that God has called me into the ministry is the moment that you have to understand that you are a public leader everywhere that you go. This means you need to be conscious of how your words and your actions and your overall lifestyle have an impact on people who are less discipled than you are. We said things like show attention to what time you get in and what time you get up. Actively pursue the office of a minister and be productive and personal development. And, you know, thanks be to God, by his goodness and his graciousness, I was involved in the mentorship of two young men from the time that they were around 14 years of age. They're now in their mid and late 20s. One of them is a missionary with the United Pentecostal Church. Another one is an assistant youth pastor at a local church, actively growing a youth group. My father has done the same thing, who's also my pastor, has done the same thing with others. And we now have people that are either licensed in ministry or on their way to becoming licensed in ministry. So I'm a firm believer that this is not just ideas on a page. For me, this is not just content we created because, oh my goodness, we need a podcast. This is stuff that really has worked for me in my local context. I believe that mentorship is a vital ingredient to youth ministry. I believe that you should start mentoring early, start mentoring often, start mentoring people when they are young, because God wants to do things with the students that are in your youth ministry. God doesn't just want you to disciple young people so that they can escape hell and hopefully make it to heaven. There are people right now in your student ministry that God has called to shape and to shake the world. So you become the best mentor that you can become, and you begin to look out into your student ministry and find those who have the qualities and calling of a mentee, and then set up a structure in place. You can use the things that I talked about, or you can use something else, but set something in place with your pastor so that you can begin to multiply the influence of your local church in your area and around the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are missionaries, there are pastors, there are church planters, there are incredible church leaders that right now are trying to figure out where to sit in the lunchroom and high school, but if you can take them and shape them and mold them into the person that God's called them to be, they're gonna exit their youth years and shake and change the world. Mentorship is one of the most important things that you're gonna do in your student ministry career. And with God's help, I know that you're gonna do it. Thank you so much. Goodbye for 2022. We will see you in 2023 with a bunch of brand new interviews and hopefully more great original content for all of you. Thank you so much. We're praying for you as you educate and engage the next generation. If you have found this episode to be helpful, please share it with another student leader, another youth pastor, and let's see God do amazing things as we pour into the lives of the people that God has placed in front of us. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you in 2023.